News of the Times. Serial Killer Saturdays. The Leiden Poisoner. The Netherlands' most notorious serial killer. Welcome to News of the Times. In today's episode, we are in the Netherlands in 1883, and police are only just beginning to come to grips with what is historically referred to as the Netherlands' most prolific serial killer. With the death of a mother and newborn in quick succession, followed closely by the father, the doctors wonder if there has been poison. The symptoms of violent retching and diarrhea were not so dissimilar to cholera, yet he had had a similar case a few days before. What unfolds is a local woman who has systematically been killing off members of the community for years. Ironically, her nickname in the neighbourhood from others was Good to Me, due to her reputation for kindness and reliability. We take a look at this famous case of wholesale poisoning in 1883 Netherlands in today's episode of Serial Killer Saturdays. We hope you enjoy the show. Background. Maria Swanenburg was born September the 9th, 1839, as one of 12 children in extreme poverty in Leiden. Reports have it that her father was an alcoholic and spent what little money he had on drink. Leiden at the time, like many other parts of the world, was beset by cholera, with symptoms of vomiting, diarrhea, and leg cramps. Leiden's family lived in a very small worker's cottage. Maria's father was regularly unemployed and a reported alcoholic. When Maria was 12, they were evicted from the tiny hovel that they had been living in due to rent arrears, and relocated to Singelstraat, a notorious slum area habituated by the very poorest. Maria never learned to read or write. Maria had two children before marriage. In society at that time, having children before marriage gave her a reputation as a promiscuous woman in the neighbourhood. The two daughters died, whether by the rampant cholera or at her own hands is unknown. In 1868, at the age of 28, she formally marries Johannes van der Linden, the man who had fathered her two children. He worked in a factory. It was a step up for Maria from what she had known, but was still quite poor. The couple went on to have 7 children. Of the children, only 2 survived. To help with finances, Maria worked as a laundress. She also took on casual work, looking after children and tending the sick. Historically, cholera was rampant at the time. Arsenic poisoning very much mimicked the symptoms of cholera, making arsenic poisoning easy to miss, especially when occurring in families where it was thought the cholera had spread. In the very poor area she lived in, medical access was limited, a factor that would help to allow her to get away with her crimes. Now a married and respectable woman, Maria Swanenburg, or van der Linden, became a favourite in the neighbourhood where she lived. Always happy to help, she earned the moniker Guimi, meaning Good Me, due to her perceived kindness and willing to help anyone. Living in an area of poverty, dependence on others in the community was a requirement for survival. With Maria's sterling reputation for helpfulness and kindness, she was in and out of everyone's house regularly. Whether to help with children, washing, or helping to care for those unwell. Maria had free access to many homes at the time. Insurance. Similar to the death clubs established in England, funeral insurance policies were prolific. Such insurance policies were common amongst impoverished families, unable to afford burial expenses. Remarkably, one person could have multiple policies, with the initial payout covering funeral costs and subsequent ones serving as a financial safety. The insurance policy did not require the knowledge of the person being insured, thus effectively enabling anybody to insure anyone, whether related or not. The deaths. A mass fire occurred, impacting many trial records, thereby making some of the information surrounding the testimony at her trial spotty. It is believed she began her killing spree sometime around 1800, systematically killing families and friends. At least in the beginning, the main motive seems to have been financial. She would arrange numerous insurance policies on friends and neighbours from different sources, and the financial outlay for these death clubs was small, with insurance payouts considerably more than was what was put in. It is conjectured that her first killing was her mother, closely followed by her father in 1880. With only two children remaining from the seven she had whilst married, it had been put forward that she killed five of her children as well. Arsenic. Maria's mode of killing was arsenic, which closely mimicked cholera symptoms. She purchased the arsenic powder as a remedy for bedbugs, which she easily obtained from the local drugstore. An extremely toxic substance, arsenic induces severe symptoms upon ingestion. It triggers intense diarrhea, which can lead to fatal dehydration. Arsenic damages internal organs upon entering the bloodstream. Victims suffer agonizing headaches and light sensitivity as the poison reaches the brain. Eventually, vital organs such as the heart and kidneys fail. It is, by all accounts, an excruciating death. Her method was simple. As a well-trusted member of the community, almost as an auntie, she was in and out of people's cramped quarters, where she would slip some of the powder into food cooking on the stove and let it do its work while she was somewhere else. Similar to serial killer Helen Jagado, she was so helpful and so kind and respectable that there was no suspicion whatsoever of her activities for quite some time. As her killing spree went on for so long undetected, she reportedly became more and more brazen. While Maria's initial murders aimed to bolster her financial standing, her actions soon spiraled into a compulsion. In one chilling incident, after poisoning two sisters under her care, she brazenly spiked the coffee served to their grieving relatives at the wake. Although they survived, she attempted to murder six people, including the pregnant mother of the deceased sister. The killing that caught her. On December the 3rd, 1883, mother and infant child of the Frankhausen family died in terrible pain with vomiting and diarrhea. Shortly after, the husband had the same symptoms. He lingered for 11 days in excruciating pain and then died. The doctor attending wondered at the deaths and recalled that a death very similar in character had taken place just recently with the 5-year-old girl that Maria had babysat. He ordered an autopsy. With arsenic found, Maria is quickly suspected and arrested on December 15th, 1883. With the three victims showing the telltale signs of arsenic poisoning, 13 additional bodies are exhumed where Maria had contact. They all prove to have arsenic within their systems. From the Driffield Times, 29th of December, 1883. Wholesale poisoning. A married woman called Van der Linden, aged 45 years, mother of three children, is charged at Leiden with having murdered 16 persons in the course of a few years. The victims were nearly all members of her family, on whose lives she had effected insurances in burial and life insurance companies without their consent, with the intention of poisoning them and receiving the money at their deaths. The crimes were discovered under the following circumstance. Some days ago, a family named Frankhuizen at Leiden lost on one day the mother and a child of 8 months. The father was also taken ill and removed to a hospital. In each case, they were symptoms of poisoning, and the examination of the bodies proved this to be really the fact. It was ascertained that Mrs. Van der Linden came into the houses of her relatives and put poison in milk which was being made hot on the fire. After the death of the woman and her child, it was remembered that during the last 2 or 3 years, a number of the members of the family had died under the same circumstances, and the bodies of 2 other children, having been exhumed, showed traces of poison. A cousin of Mrs. Van der Linden, a soldier whom she had tried to poison 15 months ago, is very ill, and Herr Frankhuizen is in great danger. The accused has confessed her guilt. Her husband is innocent. The prisoner has herself lost 5 children, and it is presumed that they have also been poisoned. She has been lodged in prison at The Hague. Now imprisoned, Maria confesses to some of the crimes that would eventually be placed at her door. An investigation follows, lasting 1.5 years, in which 90 bodies are exhumed and tested with which Maria had contact. They are found filled with arsenic. In anticipation of the trial to come, the judge orders psychological testing on Maria. The appointed psychologists find Maria's mind is showing a high degree of callousness, but that with the full physical and psychological examination, Maria was deemed to be in full possession of her intellectual facilities and therefore could stand trial. As the actual death count most likely attributed to Maria rises, the prosecution feel that they have only enough evidence to try her on the last 4 murders. From the Dundee Evening Telegraph, the 10th of February, 1885, a wholesale poisoner. A woman named Van der Linden, living in Leiden, will be tried next month for the poisoning of 6 persons during the years 1881, 1882, and 1883. It is believed that she has poisoned many others. Investigation. Following Maria's arrest, law enforcement uncovered numerous insurance policies under her name, sparking further suspicion. Interviews with individuals connected to her revealed a pattern. Relatives who had dealings with Maria often met untimely deaths. Authorities took a drastic step of exhuming bodies for forensic analysis, revealing traces of arsenic in dozens of corpses. Ultimately, evidence emerged that she had poisoned approximately 65 people within her social circle, resulting in 23 fatalities. Yet, authorities believe her tally of victims could be significantly higher. The revelation of Maria's crimes shattered the community's perception of her, triggering a wave of shock and disbelief. Initially, some residents even harbored resentment towards the authorities for apprehending her. However, as details of her atrocities emerged, public sentiment quickly shifted to outrage and condemnation. Media coverage of the case reflected both disgust and a curious fascination, with newspaper articles adopting a sensational tone. Maria's modest dwelling, once an unassuming fixture in the neighborhood, transformed into a grim symbol of her heinous acts, complete with a notable sign outside marking its notoriety, similar to the Whitechapel Stanger Bakery case. People would make the trip to visit outside her death house to gawk and gossip. Trial. The court case takes place on the April the 23rd and 24th. Execution by this time has been abolished in the Netherlands, so the worst punishment that can be had for Maria is life imprisonment. The case gripped the Netherlands. As she entered the courtroom, there was an inward gasp from the filled to the rafters spectators. Her own defense solicitor admitted that he had never seen a greater inhumanity in a person. Within the trial, Maria did not say a word other than to request a merciful punishment. The prosecution demanded a life sentence, whereas the defense played to the horror of the crimes with the reasoning that anyone who could kill so many must be insane. The verdict on May the 1st finds Maria guilty of 3 of the 4 crimes charged to her. The vast number of exhumed bodies outside of the original Frankenhausen family and a girl of 5 filled with arsenic are not brought up in trial. Although 3 of the 4 charges brought against her were proven, it was thought she had tried to poison many more. Some estimates place her attempted killings at over 100. Certainly, some 50 persons were known to have become seriously ill at her hands, whilst 22 died under suspicious circumstances. Although questioned, Maria remained silent regarding her motives. Insurance investigations traced that at least initially her motives were financial, with the monetary gains she recouped from the death through insurance. However, as more and more cases were traced, it could be seen that in many cases she had no financial gain, nor did she receive any compensation. It is thought that she poisoned them for a lust of power, the ability to choose who would or who would not die. Her husband, brought in during the initial investigation, is acquitted of all the charges. It was taken that he did not know what was going on and was probably lucky that he had survived living with her. However, questions linger about his level of awareness, particularly given the numerous instances of illness and death within his own family, coupled with Maria's financial gains from insurance policies. The courts defer sentencing of Maria for 1 week after her guilty verdict is announced. The British press find this unreasonable given the scale of her crimes. From the Barry and Furness Advertiser, the 28th of April, 1885, 60 persons poisoned. It is difficult to understand on what ground the criminal court at The Hague has deferred sentence for a week on the woman Van der Linden, particularly as capital punishment apparently being disused or abolished in Belgium, the public prosecutor only asked for a sentence of imprisonment for life. The horrible creature confessed to having administered poison to two of the four persons whom she is now charged with having murdered, although she said that she did not mean to kill them. It is said that she actually murdered about 60 persons, some of them for the purpose of obtaining sums for which she had insured their lives, and others for no ascertainable reason. The only defence is either the preposterous one that she was drunk when she put arsenic into the food of her relatives and neighbours, or that she was suffering from a peculiar form of homicidal mania. We are not aware that any medical evidence has been given in support of this latter allegation, but it is certain that the acceptance of its accuracy by the court would be a course fraught with very serious public danger from the encouragement which it would afford to other persons tempted to the same most insidious form of crime. In any case, it is to be presumed that Van der Linden will at least be kept in some form of durance for the rest of her life. Authorities who released on any grounds the murderess of 60 men, women and children would fairly be held responsible for any further crimes she might commit. Maria was sentenced to life in prison. On the 2nd of July, Maria was transferred to a prison for women. 5 months later, her marriage with her husband, Herr Van der Linden, was annulled. From the London and China Express, the 8th of May, 1885, the trial of the woman Van der Linden, known as the Leyden Poisoner, has taken place at The Hague. It is said that she has committed about 60 murders by poisoning. She is, however, prosecuted only for 4, committed since November 1881. The medical inquiry with regard to the mental state of the accused established that she was of perfectly sound mind and wholly responsible for her actions. In some cases, she apparently committed crimes out of sheer perversity, but in most instances, her purpose was, it is stated, to obtain the burial allowances of her victim. The money thus obtained she spent for the most part in drinking carousal. A large number of witnesses have been examined. The trial was concluded before 7 judges. The Crown prosecutor demanded the condemnation of the prisoner to penal servitude for life. Capital punishment has been abolished in Holland. The counsel for the accused pleaded that she was subject to a monomania for wholesale poisoning. The theory of moral insanity was rejected, and the prisoner condemned to imprisonment for life. While the sentence was being pronounced, the woman fainted. 2 years later, Maria was transferred to a different women's prison in Gorinchem. From here, Maria tries several times to obtain a pardon. None of her multiple attempts are successful. From the Western Morning News, 3rd of July, 1885. The Dutch High Court of Justice has rejected the appeal of the woman Van der Linden, known as the Leyden Poisoner, and has sentenced her to imprisonment for life. Maria died in prison in 1915 after 20 years of imprisonment. Postscript. Maria's arrest sent shockwaves through society. Legislative measures governing the sale of arsenic underwent revisions, and there were calls from journalists and intellectuals to reinstate the death penalty specifically for her case. The case in the Netherlands had a resounding impact. Laws were introduced limiting the easy access to poisons such as arsenic. Funeral insurance legalities were tightened, disallowing the ability to take out insurance without the subject's knowledge. Improvements were made to the state of medical care available to poorer social classes. That concludes this episode of Serial Killer Saturdays, The Leyden Poisoner, the Netherlands' most notorious serial killer. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did enjoy this show, we would be grateful if you could like or subscribe to our channel. We upload 5 days a week. Mondays are murderous as we delve into the dark side of Regency and Victorian crime. Wednesdays are wicked, where we pull together stories with a similar theme, such as Doctors of Death. Fridays are frightful, where we look at crimes in a location such as stories from the stage to murder and scandal in the aristocracy. Saturdays is Serial Killer Saturdays, where we investigate serial killer stories from the past. And Sundays is a bit of fun, with a unique mini-murder mystery where you, the listener, have a chance to solve a murderous riddle. On the last Sunday of the month, we offer a 2-hour compilation of stories based around a theme. If you like this channel, you may be interested in our sister channel, Chronicle of the Times, where we offer a lighter side of Victorian and Edwardian news stories, as well as a weekly podcast of stories from authors of the day, such as Dickens, Collins, Benson, and Conan Doyle. Thank you again for watching and listening. This has been News of the Times, and I am Robin Coles.